If I could go ahead and ask you to open your Bibles, let's do that together to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 27 as we start a three-part series on that I've entitled Building a Life Upon the Rock. Go ahead and pull out your outlines from your bulletins this morning so you can follow along. Got a lot of things here in front of me that I got to kind of grab hold of here for some illustrations today. But go ahead and get your Bibles open to Matthew 7. Be looking at verses 24 through 27, and go ahead and grab your outline. To the kids that are here today that have gotten their little bag here, you can go ahead and open up your bags this morning, as this is going to help us with a little illustration today, and each and every Sunday that we're going to go through this three-part series is going to help us. If you haven't opened them already, some of you might have already done that, but go ahead and open those up. I gave you a foundation and eight pieces to build upon that foundation as an illustration for the series. After today's message, put your little house, put it in back in your bag, make sure your name's on it, put it back on the back table, and then what we'll do for next week, we'll put in eight more pieces, and then next week we'll use it as an illustration again, and then you're going to put it back there, back on the back at the end of the service, and then the final Sunday that we're in this series, you're going to get eight more pieces in there, so as we build our life upon the rock to use that, and then after that Sunday, you can go ahead and take you're building with you. So that's the instructions for that. So if you pick up your kids, the brown foundation that's in there, this is the foundation, okay? You guys got it? Let me see if you got it. You guys got that out? Got the brown foundation? That's what it is. Now, if you're going to build a house, the foundation should be kind of solid. Wouldn't you guys kind of agree? Would you build it on mud? Right? Would you build on shifting sand? Would you build on those kind of things? Foundation needs to be solid, needs to be rock solid, so it will hold up forever. So we're going to be talking about when the storms come, when the flood comes, or in California, the earthquake comes, it doesn't fall apart, right? Right? Some of us have some houses on some shaky ground. I was talking to some of the men, and there's just different things that are happening on our houses because the foundations aren't settled. They're not solid. They're not on the solid rock is what it is, and they shift when things happen, that kind of thing. So we're going to be talking about a foundation, and I want us to just put that in our mind. We don't want to build upon shifting sand or unstable ground that can wash away. Our text this morning we're going to be looking at falls into the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You guys are pretty familiar with that by the Lord Jesus Christ. This sermon is the most magnificent sermon and teaching in Scripture. It is an amazing sermon as you would go through it all. One day I desire to do that, maybe after I finish with Romans, whatever year that might be. I'd like to preach through and teach the great truths that are in this incredible Sermon on the Mount. Now, listen to this. All of it, all of the sermon, chapter 5 through 7, influenced directly the majority of the New Testament scriptures. As I've dug into this, been looking at this, it does. This sermon right here, incredible message from the Lord Jesus Christ, really influences most of the New Testament teachings that the apostles wrote and all that was in there. I think God knew what he was doing. But here in our text is the concluding analogy of this message, and it's two builders, two foundations. Pretty simple. As Jesus finishes his sermon, he gives a very simple analogy that concludes what he has been teaching or what he's taught. It's simple, but it has, how would I say it, tremendous depth and meaning as we're going to apply to our life there in application. So look at it with me. It's very really simple. Let me read it to you, and let's get it on our heart this morning. As we would begin, Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, here the word of the Lord says this, says, therefore, that's the first word, and this, let me just encourage you as you would look at that, the therefore points back and refers to the rest of the message. And so he talks about what he wants to talk about, Jesus teaches what he wants to teach, he's going through all of that. Yes, does it point directly right to the previous verses, but in the grammar and the way it is, it goes through the whole thing. So he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock, or on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against the house, and it fell with a great and great was its fall. Pretty simple analogy, isn't it? You just see it right there in front of you, what he's talking about. We understand what he's saying, and Luke records it like this. Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. Luke records the same sermon, same conclusion, and he says it this way in Luke 6, 46 through 49. Let me read it to you. He says this, Jesus' words, as he concludes, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when the floods occurred, the torrent burst against the house. It could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who has built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. It's a pretty simple analogy. You have a wise builder who built upon the rock. You have a foolish builder who built upon the sand. They both heard God's word, hear God's word. Here's the words of Jesus. The wise builder acted upon the word of God. The foolish builder does not act upon God's word. That's very clear, is it not? Now, we'll dig into this as the weeks go along, because we're going to do this two more weeks, but I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. What is the rock bed foundation to your life? To a life built on the rock. What is it, you guys? It's right there in the text. What is the rock bed foundation to your life? Obedience to God's word. Because the wise one heard it, and the foolish one heard it. The wise one acted upon it. The foolish one ignored it. Let it go. It didn't matter. Whatever you want to say in it. He didn't act upon it. Now, acting upon it is in thought and action. Thought, believing, trusting, putting your faith in it. That's what he's talking about. Christ has did the Sermon on the Mount. He gives this analogy, and he says, those that act upon the word of God, the word of Christ, what it says, through thought and action, through believing and trusting and responding all to the word of God, they build their house on the rock. Those that don't act upon it in thought, don't believe it, don't trust it, argue with it, disagree with it, however it might be, they're building on sand. And the storm's going to come, the torrent's going to come, and that sand is going to get washed away, because if it's not on the truth of God's word, if it's not you believing, trusting, and acting upon the truth of God's word, it's all sand. And it will all fall apart. So the bedrock foundation is the word of God and obedience to the truth of God's word. That's what he's saying. It's pretty simple. But it's profound. Because it really speaks to our life, and Jesus is one. Like I said, the New Testament is basically formed and written right here as the apostles and the New Testament writers hear and understand and see, and God opens up the Word of God to them, and so they write from this. It's obedience to God's Word, who hears His words and acts upon them. It's really simple. It's not complicated in the text. The one who builds on the rock obeys God's word. God's word, his truth, is the rock bed foundation to your life. You believe it, you trust it, you act upon it. It involves thought and action both. And obedience to God's word begins with faith in Christ, doesn't it? That's an action, isn't it? A belief and a trust, and put your faith in who God declared Jesus to be in Scripture, not who the world declared Jesus to be in our minds. Not who the world says Jesus is, or what your feelings say Jesus is, or the flesh say Jesus is, what the Word of God says Christ is. Why he came, who he is, what he did. Faith, acting upon, trusting in, settling in on. Obedience starts there. For every believer, for every person that's a Christian, that's where it begins. It's obedience to the Word of God revealed about who Christ is. Who Jesus is, why he came, what he did, according to God's word, according to, and you acted upon what Scripture says to do. Like, let's just take a simple one, Mark 1:15. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel is about who Jesus is, why he came, what he did, because of who we are. And Jesus said, repent, meaning turn from sin, turn from serving self, turn to serving the true and living God, and believe and put your faith. That's an action. That's acting upon God's word. In who Christ is. He's the Lord and Savior. It's pretty simple. That's how the foundation is built. Would you agree? That's the rock bed foundation to the church, is it not? And so Christ is setting this out. And so if we're going to build on a foundation, if we're going to build our life upon a rock, it begins with Christ, right? Look with me to Matthew 16. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. I want you to look at verses 13 through 18 with me. And it all begins here. Listen to the rock bed foundation to the people of God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and the story here in verses 13 through 18. You guys probably know it well. Listen to what it says. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do you say the Son of Man is? And the, and some said, you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to God's word. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood, humanity, human ingenuity, human understanding, human intellect, humanity, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You didn't figure it out. Human mind doesn't figure it out. Listen to what it says. But my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, this has nothing to do with the foundation that we stand upon, that upon the rock being upon man or being upon Peter. That would be ridiculous. It's upon Christ and who he is. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, God himself, who went to the cross, paid the penalty of sin, and rose from the dead. He's Lord, Lord of all, Scripture says. That word about him in the Scripture, that word about God's truth in the Scripture about who Christ is, upon that rock, Christ builds his church. And that's clear. He doesn't build it upon man, the preacher, programs, worship. He builds it upon that. The Christ's church is built upon who Christ is, why he came, what he did. He's King of kings, Lord of lords, he's Savior of all, and the Lordship of Christ is what he rescues us to. Amen? I mean, that's just bottom line basic. That's how it begins. And any other thing that's said about that is sand. I don't have any problem sharing that, because I want our lives on the foundational rock of Jesus Christ and who he is, why he came, what he did. Those that believe, trust, put their faith in the truth of Christ revealed in Scripture, repent of sin, build on the rock. God the Father has revealed the truth of Christ to you from his word, and you acted upon it in faith, belief, trust, as you repented and turned from sin and embraced him. Pretty true. That's how the word of God says it. That's the foundation, you guys. Kids, look with me again. Grab your foundation. That's the foundation to any life that can be built upon a rock. Because the only rock is Jesus Christ. And you can build your life. You can do all kinds of things. You can do all that. But if it starts on the rock of Christ, it's not rock, it's sand. And God wants us to make sure in our heart that that's the way, this is why Jesus began with that. Now go back to Matthew 7 with me. Look at Matthew 7 with me. Turn back there. And I want you to look at verse 13 and 14 of chapter 7. Now, I'm just kind of lightly touching all this. There's so much here. But in verse 13 and 14, it says this, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, let me just be real simple here. Acting upon and believing in the truth of Christ is the narrow way revealed in Scripture. That's what it is. And we can just simply say this, he is Savior and Lord. Acting upon that he is the Savior, the only Savior, the only way to be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ alone, the narrow way. Many is the way, is the broad of the road. Many people enter into this big thing that God is this and God is that, and any way leads to God and all of that. It's only through faith and trust in the revealing of who Christ is in the Word of God that you trust. Look at verse 21. He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Listen, the only one who does the will of God the Father is to believe and to trust in and embrace the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not about that you did some things in Jesus' name. It's not that you did, like in the text, well, we did this and we did that in your name and all that. And he says, I don't know you. It's not about what you're doing. It's about the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is for you to embrace the Son and believe in him. That's the will of God the Father. That's the desire of the God the Father. Not that you do good things, not you do these things in Jesus' name. It's his will is that you embrace him, and then God will lead your life, and then you'll do the things that God has for you. Now, let me read that to you again when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Jesus said that. What is the will of the Father? Listen to John 6:40. These are the words of Christ. He said, for this is the will of my Father. That sounds pretty clear to me. How about you? that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself, Jesus said, will raise them up on the last day. Now, do you understand what it means to behold the Son and believe in him? To behold, to see, to embrace, to see the truth of who Christ is and to embrace it, all of it, that he's Savior and Lord, that he came and gave his life, all of the gospel, all the truth, everyone, this is the will of the Father, that whoever one embraces the Son and believes in him will be raised up in the last day. Christ will do it, and they have eternal life. That's the will of the Father. It's for you to believe in Jesus Christ and the lordship of him in your life. That's the will of the Father. It's not what man says about Jesus. It's what God says about him, that you behold and embrace. That's the beginning of the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ." So again, kids, pick up your brown foundation. Only what the Word of God says is the starting point about who Jesus is. That you put your trust and your belief with obedience, of belief and trust and faith in the revelation of God's word on the subject of Christ. That's the foundation to the life of a Christian, to the life that somebody's been saved. That's what they're building their life upon. That's such an important thing, and that's what these parts are going to be. This is, you're going to build your life upon the rock of Christ, right? And you're going to establish the foundation. You're going to do things with the foundation, because here's the thing. Obedience isn't a one-time thing, is it? Yes, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need to obey God's word on what it says, repent and believe in him. But obedience has to continue. Scripture's pretty clear on that, isn't it? Do you guys agree? Right? For all believers, all those who are truly saved, obedience has to continue. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 8. Listen to what he said. Here he's sharing the message, John 8. He's preaching the gospel. He's talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about listening to his words, all that. And verse 30 says this, "And he spoke these things, and many came to believe in him." Believe. They acted upon what they heard. They acted upon what they heard. We believe. We're acting upon what we heard about Christ. We believe in him. We're putting our faith in him. We trust in him. Here's the next thing Jesus said. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." To continue is to continue to obey in thought and action God's word. Disciples continue to obey God's word, continue to hear the word of God, continue to respond to it, continue to act upon it in thought and action, believing and trusting as they learn God's word. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 22 through 24. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered and said, 14, 22 through 24. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered, said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him." Listen to verse 24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not of mine, but the Father who sent me." There's the life that we have. We keep the words of Christ. We're learning the word of God. We're learning to trust in the word of God. We're learning what it says about Christ. We're learning what it says about us. We're learning in thought what to believe, what to trust, what to act upon. Reminds me of James 1:22 that says this, "Prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude yourselves." You delude yourself to true Christianity if you're not seeking to act upon God's word. You're deluded or you're deceived to thinking that you're here to hear God's word, we're here to learn God's word, we're here to trust in what it is, believe what it is, put our faith in what God is revealing to us in Scripture, and then you act nothing upon it. It just kind of falls off all the time. That's not continuing in the word of God. That's not what believers do. That's not Christianity. That's not the church. I like how it said it simply in Hebrews 5:9, Jesus became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life. It's a continuous obedience to the words of Scripture. Obeying the Lord, responding to his word in thought and action is the bedrock foundation to a life of a believer. Again, illustration, pick up your brown foundation, kids. Hold it up, let me see it. Have you put any pieces on yet? Have some of you built it all the way? Did anybody get that little black round one that just doesn't seem to want to go on? Let me tell you, right there in that corner, that thing fits. I figured that out. It only took me like 20 minutes. That must be some of the hard word of God, the difficult ones to follow, right? The foundation starts with obeying the truth of Christ, believing and trusting, and each of the pieces represent God, obeying God's truth. Each Sunday, I teach the Word of God from the pulpit here, what God's Word says, what it means, how it impacts us. If there's no acting upon, seeking to obey, believe, trust, respond to God's Word in thought and action, how are we His? How do we know we're His? The Word of God, the Scripture, God's Word would say that His sheep follow Him, they hear His voice, they act upon Him, they believe. If it's just none of that, then how would we know? Obedience is a key word here, and I want to say something. I wrote it down specifically, and I want you to listen to this. The only validation that you will ever have of your salvation is a life being sanctified by God. Changing, growing, becoming more and more Christ-like. Changing, that's the only validation you're ever going to have. That happens through obedience in thought and action to God's Word. That's how that happens. Doesn't trickle down in your head from above. You're not zapped by lightning. It's from you listening to the Word of God, you believing and trusting in what God is saying and who He is and who we are and that He's over this and that He's with you. And then as the Word and you obey it, that's what God does in bringing sanctification. The only possible proof is that you recognize the Lordship of Christ at work in your life. That comes in the new life and new nature given in His salvation. We know what sanctification is, right? Should I have to explain that? I've been in Romans for a long time. God is sanctifying all of us. We are growing to become more and more Christ-like as we gaze at the glory of Christ. If it's found in Scripture, we are being transformed by the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18, more and more into the glory of Christ, revealing the glory of Christ. This is the life of every believer, and its growth, and it happens in obedience of the Word of God, and the only validation is to see it in your life. Obedience through belief, trust, acting upon the truth of God's Word found in the Word of God is the rock a wise builder builds upon. It's not human ideas about God. It's not humanistic views of what feels right about God. It's not the world's presentation of who God should be. If a God was God of love, He wouldn't let this go on, and we have to have this foundation of this that we can answer that, because we're going to build our life on, is that who God is? None of this stuff should happen, that kind of thing, and when things happen, the sand falls down. It's not built upon how good man is or all the false teaching, the false believing is sand. The torrent of life washes it away. Don't you find that happening in your truth, in your life? I find it happening in mine. It's not something I would want to brag about or whatever. But when life becomes challenging, difficult, things happen in my life and things are either difficult or trying or those kind of things, something happens and then I recognize what I was standing upon wasn't the truth of God's Word, was what I thought God should be or what I was believing it to be, and what God does in His loving grace. He holds me, He loves me, but He washes that foundation out from under me and then replaces it with the truth of God's Word to stand upon in the midst of whatever hard thing is happening. You find that happening in your life? It's a loving God that does that. It's a loving God that doesn't want you to be standing upon a shore that's sand, and when the torrent comes to your life, that you doubt Him and don't think He's who He is, He's supposed to be. He does it through the Word of God, you guys. He does it through the truth of God's Word being preached, being taught, being upheld, being believed in. That's how He builds foundations. Not on humanistic views, humanistic wisdom, not on what feels good. He doesn't build anything that'll stand up in the midst of a storm. And so Jesus is saying, where are we at? How are we? What are we doing here? Sermon on the Mount, here it is. So you got to build your life upon the rock, but it's about who Christ is according to the Word of God, according to Scripture, and why He came. He came in obedience to the Father to do what the Father wanted Him to do. so the Father would be glorified. That's the Word of God. That's the bedrock foundation to it, that God, that Christ was responding to the Father and doing what the Father wanted. And then the benefit that became to humanity is that he saved us so we could glorify God. That's the bedrock foundation. You know how that's not taught in the evangelical circles? That God couldn't, here's what you might get in the evangelical circles, God couldn't live a life in heaven without us, so he came and got us. He is perfectly fine without us. In his grace and his mercy and his desire for us to experience his love, his mercy, his grace, his desire for us to know him, he acted upon us for his glory. That's bedrock that you can stand on in this life. In a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. You see where I'm getting here? So important. That's why the Sermon on the Mount is so important, the truths that are there. Now, as we capture that, I'm going to move on here and spend the last few minutes here just kind of looking at the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to do that each 3 weeks, okay? I'll go through verses 24 through 27, set some foundation again. And that's funny, yeah. Set some more foundation, right? Yeah. But as we capture this concluding knowledge, I want us to look back through the Sermon on the Mount. Turn on your back of your outline there. And we have a few minutes here. I'm just going to go as far as I can go, and that's just absolutely fine because I get to start back up next Sunday, Lord willing. I wouldn't want to assume that. But I'm going to guess I'll probably be back here. But look back through the Sermon on the Mount. On the back, it says, these words of Jesus prove to be the bedrock foundation to your life. That's the whole sermon. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5 with me. And that's what I'm going to do. We're going to look back and just show that in thought and action that we are hearing the words of Christ as he begins the message in the Sermon on the Mount. We're hearing it, and what we want to do is act upon it. That might be believing. That might be trusting. That might be responding in some sort of way that God, it might be acting in some sort of way. It's going to be all those through there. These words of Jesus in Matthew 5 through 7 chapters prove to be the bedrock or the rock bed foundation to our life. They involve thought and action through belief and trust, and they spring from the new life that we have in Christ. First, look at with me chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. We all know this as the Beatitudes, the kind of life built on a biblical view of self. You might want to write that in your outline there right next to Beatitudes. Biblical view of self. You know, if you don't know yourself well, according to Scripture, you're going to be standing on some sand, right? Right? Just think about that just in your life. If you really kind of understand yourself well, who in here cannot sing? Raise your hand with me. There you go. You guys understand yourself, right? We don't do any solos, do we? Unless the Lord said, we want you to do a solo, right? None of us are volunteer for that, right? Right? Who can play a musical instrument? Raise your hand. Who can play one? Oh, we got some talent. But the rest of us, we know, right? We know. Biblical view of ourselves. I've tried. It isn't there, right? Right? All right, Tony, we saw the soccer skills, but who in the room really can play soccer? Raise your hand. Who can Tony didn't raise his hand. I want you guys to know that, okay? All right, a biblical view of yourself. You want the real one, right? Don't you want the real one? Don't you? That, man, that just becomes rock solid, right? If I understand who I am, right, I really understand Christ, who he is, why he came, and if I understand who he truly I am in God's view, right? Right? That's what he begins with. That's what he begins with. And what we want to do, and let's just briefly look at it real quick. Look at it. Here's the kind of life built on a biblical view of self. Look at the first one. I was going to read the whole thing, but just look at the first one. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, our kingdom of heaven. Do you know what poor in spirit means? It's a biblical view of self. Let me help you what it means. It recognizes one's spiritual poverty apart from God. Matthew 5, 17 through 20 makes it really clear that God's word's not going to change, but saying the same thing for all the time. Verse 20 says this, for I say that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees kept the law to every jot and tittle. They kept the law as perfectly as humans could be, and Christ said, it's not even close. And if your righteousness isn't better than theirs, you're going to hell. That's what it says right there. God isn't about how good righteous you are. He didn't come down to get all the righteous people. We know that by Scripture. Have the spiritual view, the biblical view of yourself. We're all dependent upon God. No one did more righteous works than than they did, and they had none righteousness at all. Remember Scripture? No one, not one, is righteous. Romans 3:10. The only righteousness that we have, that I have, is the righteousness of Christ credited to me through faith in Him. And God said that was a gift. That was a gift of God. To know and perceive that there is no saving resource in me. I want you to know that about yourself. There's no saving resource in you. Zippo. You have nothing. Your looks, your talent, your money, your ability, your kindness, your love, all that. Zip. Who saved you? He did, right? By grace, right? By the grace of God. I didn't save myself. I can't save anybody. God saves. And He's the one that pierced my heart with the truth for me to believe. Understand, have a biblical view of self. You begin there. That's a good foundation. I have no spiritual merit. I cannot earn salvation. Pride is mitigated when you have the right view of self. Self is emptied. Humble is the poor in spirit. Gratitude springs forth with a life with the action of dependence upon God, following Christ, living and honoring God's word, God's way. I don't know the way. I just know the one that knows the way. And His Spirit came to indwell me to talk to me about following the way and about what really the Word of God says. And I know Darth Vader on my back just wants to go its own way, and it doesn't like God's Word. And so I just have to be in submission to the Lord. This is who I am. I am poor in spirit because I have to trust in the Lord to guide and lead me every step of my life. Because if I follow me, don't follow me. You don't want to hear from me on Sunday. You want to hear from the Lord. Is that a biblical view of self? Is it the right one? Does it challenge some of us this morning on having the right one? Have the wrong one, it's sand. The water will come, it'll wash it away. When the torrent comes and you know who you are, let me get to one or two more because we're out of time here, but just to add to it. And like I said, we'll pick up next week, but look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, that doesn't kind of make sense in the world, does it? Bless those who are, right, but mourn over sin. That's what he's talking about. Listen to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 3 through 7. Blessed are those that mourn. This is the biblical view they have their self. When I kept silent about my sin, the psalmist writes, my body wasted away. That ever happened to you? Through my groanings all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. You're the Lord's, and you're kind of keeping quiet about your sin, and it just kind of seems like, that ever happened to you? Happens to me when I just kind of keep it hidden, and I don't talk to God about it, because I got new life in Christ, and I'm dependent upon Him, and He gave it to me, and so when those things are there, I acknowledged my sin to you, O Lord, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Did you get what he said? The guilt of sin is human, is what man does. God needs to remind me I've been forgiven of it all. And I need to confess and repent and tell him. I need to mourn over my sin. And then he reminds me, yeah, I paid for it on the cross. Yes, I don't want you to sin. I want you to go this way. But if we hide it, if we don't confess it, we're not acknowledging that's who we are. Foundation to the believer is a desire not to sin, but when we do, we mourn and respond in confession and repentance to change and grow, and God removes my self-guilt, and I am forgiven. Build your life on that. Build your life on that. That's a rock to stand on all the time. And as we close today, I want to just read to you Luke 6. I want to read that and make some comments about it, but it says this. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built. Listen, Christ says right in there, dig deep. That's what we do. We got to get past the superficial. We got to get past the things that we would like. You know, I would want Christianity easy. I would like kind of like it like this, wouldn't you? Right? It's so easy following the Lord and loving Him. But you know what? It's deep. It's an effort to act upon what the Lord has said, because you have to deny yourself, deny your flesh, deny self-gratification, deny what you like, and let that new life in you, that new self that you have, you need to follow it. It wants to live for the Lord. It follows the Spirit of God, and it acts on God's word. We have to dig deep in believing and trusting and obeying God's word. It's the solid rock of our foundation as His people, acting upon His word in thought and action. Let me tell you, I'll guarantee you, it's not sand. Let's pray. Father, we're just grateful for the opportunity that you've given us today to gather, to worship, and all the things that we got to be about today, Lord, to just lifting up our voices to you, Lord, in song, and open up our hearts to you and just sing to you, Lord. Thankful for just the gift of praise. And for the prayer today, Lord, to just pray, to just come before you and say, Lord, this is who we are. This is our desire. We want to honor you and glorify you. We want you to work in our lives, Lord. We do. We need you to. We depend upon you. We want to be obedient. And so we call upon you in prayer. And then all the things going on coming up within the body of Christ, you have guided and led us to just have the ministry going on here to meet the needs of the church, to reach out to our community, to love the children with the good news of Jesus Christ, and to plant the Word of God in their heart and in their mind. And then the special gift today to hear from, you know, our sweet dear, I mean, she's like one of my girls, but she is one of us, Lord, of this body of Christ that has been led by you to go somewhere, Tanzania, Lord, and just give her life to you in a different way than most of us. And like what was said today, Lord, thank you for the encouragement of that today. Spur us on to just reach out to a neighbor, to just listen to somebody share their heartache when they have no hope, they have no foundation, they have nothing to stand upon, their life's on sand. We don't want to stand by and not help them find the true hope of this life. And then for your word to minister to our hearts today. As Jesus said, I think it's next even, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they have received mercy. Our lives are mercy, Lord. Everything is a mercy. We should be so grateful, for we have not received what we all deserve because of you and you alone. So I thank you for today and for the worship of this church family, and for your word to us, and for the encouragement that it is, and for the opportunity that we have today. And if you give us one tomorrow, help us to embrace it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.